The hidden note for August, I guess it's the 23rd. I was supposed to record this on the 22nd. Day behind, so I'm recording a little bit earlier today. And might try to do two episodes today, just to catch up for the day I missed yesterday. Although technically I'm catching it for Sunday. Meh. So, since we're going to do a split episode, I'm gonna start right away with, Steam. It's a light topic anyway, because, well, I mean, you know. Steam's pretty simple to explain. If you haven't heard of Steam before, it's a... Well, let's backtrack. Okay, so... The video game company Valve made the game Half-Life in the late 90s. It was a huge commercial hit, was a great game, spawned several great mods that, you know, have become kind of the standards of gaming, at least on the PC these days, at least within their genre of first-person shooters. So... Valve went on to try to find a way to get their games out quickly, easily, and, you know, efficient. I mean, well, pretty much in a way that it's very beneficial to consumers, but at the same time highly profitable to Valve. Enter Steam. I signed up for Steam sometime around 2004. I think it came out in 2003. I believe came out right around when Half-Life 2 came out, but I don't remember exactly. It might have predated it slightly, but Steam was pretty awesome. It was a way of, you would, you know, enter your new product keys that you bought of your CDs, and now you could download your games whenever you wanted to, whatever computer you were on. Now, granted, you could only be logged in to one computer at a time, but basically, if you lost your CD keys, it doesn't matter, you could still play your games. And... sometime in there, Valve invited other developers to put their games up there on their platform. So, instead of just being a way of delivering their own content, Steam was providing a way for other developers, rival developers, to easily get their content to their customers. Now, I know there's still a number of people out there who are anti-Steam because Steam is just another way of DRM. But the thing is, the biggest problem with DRM in games is when it's done wrong, when it hurts the consumer, when it makes it to where you can't enjoy the game because of the rights protection over it. And Steam does it right. As long as you're logged into Steam, you're fine. You know, you don't have to enter any silly codes, you don't have to, you know, Steam is a reliable connectivity. One of the biggest issues is that, you know, those other games that require you to stay logged in, their connectivity isn't reliable. So, you'll get dropped in the middle of things. And furthermore, Steam saves your games, at least the Valve games, saves locally. So, if you lose your connection to Steam, well, a lot of those games you could still keep playing. And a lot of them still work in offline mode. So, anyway, so, Steam's kind of a big factor in the gaming world. One, they've added kind of a moderate social network to it. Not as robust as I think they should. They provide forums and a few places to share pictures and such, but you can't quite get the stream that you can with like a Twitter or a Facebook. You have to seek out the social network part, and I don't know, I think that kind of hurts a little bit if they're trying to do that. Although really their main goal is to sell games. And selling games is something they do very well. Especially considering at least twice a year, they will be the biggest vampires to your wallet ever. Why? Well, besides the fact that Steam has discounts all the time, you have weekly discounts, you have new release discounts, you have blah 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 discounts, they have what are called Steam sales, whether it's the summer sale or the winter sale or holiday sale. And when these are rolling, it's really hard for your logical part of your brain to go, no, don't buy that, when it's like, look, that game you really wanted is 70-80% off. And so's that one, and so's that one, and so's that one. And if you're not careful about setting yourself a budget limit on Steam when you're experiencing these sales, you could spend a lot of money really fast and pick up a lot of games real fast. Can't tell you how many friends I've seen who have literally spent hundreds of dollars during a summer sale or a winter sale for games they will literally never play. And trust me, I know, I'm one of those jackasses. Because I'm just going to sit here, I'm just going to look at my Steam library real fast. So, currently Steam lists me as owning 312 games. Of these games, I've probably loaded up half of them and beaten maybe a third of them. Or at least played them significantly long. This is not counting all the DLC that's been bought for them, the minor expansion packs, things like that. Needless to say, looking at Steam is the type of thing a marketer should really do with heavy considerations, because they do a lot of things right and get a lot of people to buy a lot of games even when they don't mean to. But that game you really want's only 90% off. It's like $5. What's $5? Well, $5 adds up really fast. So that's it. I'm gonna leave it at that. That's my 6-7 minute advertisement for Steam and the great content it has. Not much in the way of community talking about it other than the fact that, you know, I use that to chat with other people a lot, the built-in chat engine, the built-in announcement engines for game servers and communities, the built-in networks, you know, that type of thing. Other than that, I'm going to head off. So, see you on the episode from later tonight, when I will be talking about a game community I joined through the late 2000s, up until really only a few years ago. In fact, I really want to say my first DragonCon was when I started kind of departing from that community. So, next episode we'll be talking about F7 Lands. Until then, bye-bye.